might be moving around a lot because I can't stand still. All right. It's very difficult for me to stand still. The only time I stood still is when the Lord said, get on your knees. And that's when I didn't get on my knees. He threw me down. And so, but anyways, just bear with me because we're going to talk about something that's I felt that God put on my heart a few months ago. And it's hope. Hope. We like to use the word hope a lot, don't we? We use the hope for everything. Well, I hope that I do well in school, even though we don't study for the exams. You know, I hope I find the right person, even though you're not seeking God first. I hope that I win $1 million in a lottery. I hope all these things. But it's hope. That kind of hope is just wishful thinking. That's what it is. It's wishful thinking. I mean, it's not wrong to hope things. I mean, we hope that our children grow up to be what we want them to be. You know, doctors, lawyers, and such, right? And we hope that they do everything the way we would like them to do and say, yes, Dad, yes, Mom. But that's not reality, is it? Those of us that are parents understand that's far from reality, all right? Reality is they confront us. Reality is they're molded a certain way, and until they find their way, all right, it's usually the opposite. So we can hope all you want. All right. You can hope all you want, all right? Wish that things will go the right way, but unless your hope is in God, it's not going to work. It's just wishful thinking. I want to give you a couple examples. I'm going to start. Some of these scriptures, Ron, I'm going to apologize ahead of time because I might not have put some of these scriptures down because God just changes my mind all the time. And this one is in Psalm 27, 1 through 6. All right, this is David. And I want you to hear what David says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Sound familiar? We were singing those songs, right? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then will I be confident. All right. Now let's paint this picture where David is. David is running away from Saul. He's been surrounded by his army. And on every side he turns around, everyone is against him. All right. And in all of this, you hear him say, whom should I fear? All right. Whom should I be afraid of? Because he has hope in God. He knows that God is going to protect him. So he's not worried about all those things that surround him, all those enemies and the spirit's death. He's not afraid of that because he trusts God. His hope is in God, all right? And we as people, we sometimes, when we're surrounded by distractions, things that happen in life, and if you haven't been, then you're not living because you are going to be surrounded by your enemies. You are going to be forced to be disappointed at times. The opposite of hope is disappointment. All right, and we're disappointed a lot. Anybody here not been disappointed? Not been disappointed. Okay, that's good because you're all telling the truth. Who's been disappointed here? And someone and something, all right, we're all disappointed. All right, we would all like our children to be perfect, you know, and everybody talk about, oh, your child is so great and everything. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen very often, all right? God's in control. All right, so that's one thing. I want you to see what David is surrounding. His hope is in God. All right, hope, the definition of hope is to have a wish to get to do something or for something to happen or to be true, especially something that seems possible or likely. All right, we can hope for a lot of things, right? And sometimes what we hope for comes true, right? Sometimes when you're young, you might want to be hoping for a mate. And you, the first person you see, oh, well, that must be the person God sent me, you know. And you think, oh, well, that's the answer to prayer, all right. And then you realize it wasn't, all right. Then you realize that your hope was based on something else, probably based on your own selfishness, all right. Because a lot of times we hope for things for ourselves. It's self-centered, right? Think about it. It's really self-centered. We're thinking about things that we want, all right. Hope should be based on the expectation on the characteristics of God instead of our circumstances and feelings. Wow, that says a lot. On the characteristics of God not of our own feelings, all right? So our hope shouldn't be based on anything we feel. And we feel a lot, don't we? Especially women, they feel more. But we feel a lot. We feel a lot of things, right? And, we feel, right now, if you talk to anybody around there, there's a lot of despair. There's a lot of disappointment. People are hopeless. We look at what's going on around us and our government, our politicians, our representatives are failing in their job to represent us, all right? And that leads to hopelessness. Let's face it. How many of us are proud of what's going on around us? I would say very few people. And believe it or not, talking to people in the world, they're not happy about it either. Even they see there's something off here. Even they see this is wrong, all right? So there's a lot of hopelessness. You talk to young people nowadays, they seem to be all over the place. God, thank God that our young people have direction here. And we thank God that they have been raised up in the church and God's spirit is inside them because they do have hope. But you talk to a lot of people and there's a lot of hopelessness. Like, what am I going to do? I'm never going to amount to anything. You know, what's going on with this world? Look at this. You know what? If you know the scriptures and you believe in God, you know that everything that's happening, God said it was going to happen. It's in his word. If you read Matthew 24, we're seeing it right in front of our faces. All right? We're seeing everything happening that God said it was going to happen. So when you believe in God's word, you don't lose hope because your hope is not based on what we see with our eyes and what we feel with our hands. All right, it's based on what God said. And God said he's going to take care of business. He's going to take care of all these things. And all these things must come to pass so that people will know who God is and who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us. That's the reason we have this hope. It's a hope that surpasses all understanding. G.K. Chesterton says of hope, there is no medicine like hope or incentive so great and no tonic so powerful as expectation of something better tomorrow. Emily Dickinson says in one of her poems, hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul. Martin Luther King says, everything that is done in the world is done by hope. We do things hoping something else will come of it. You know, that's what we really do sometimes. Sometimes you say, well, I'm going to plan this beautiful dinner, and it's going to bring us all together, and everything's just going to be fine after that, you know. Maybe the food was good, but then it goes back to reality afterwards, you know. Because if it's not in your heart, it's not going to happen. Are you with me? Okay. So I don't want you to feel as though there is no hope, because there is. Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. And I want to tell you a little story here, because this happens to us. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had just occurred. And they discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and walked alongside them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here these days? Jesus said, what things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day, and since all this took place, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as a woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus acted as he were going some further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Right, just think, this happened right after Jesus died, all right? And these were followers of Jesus, all right? They were part of the group that followed Jesus. And they didn't even recognize all the things that God said was going to happen right before their eyes. And he's standing right next to them. They didn't recognize him. The Spirit, you know, his identity was withheld from him. They did not recognize who Jesus was. You know, that happens to us all the time, all right? Jesus is standing with, you ever see that picture of someone walking on the beach and about footprints, you know, and you see one set of footprints and you're wondering where God is. He was carrying us, right? I love that. It's so beautiful because that's what he does. He's with us all the time. He's there. And we call on him. He is there. All right? And we should recognize him. If we understand the word of God and listen to what the word says and let the Spirit fill us with his wisdom and his grace, we see the things God has for us. All right? We won't be downcast. Pastor Tony was just talking about that when he said, "You look downcast, woe is me. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the struggles you're going through." You know what? I don't. I really don't, because I don't know. All right? But I do know that I've been through struggles. I've been through things that are very difficult. And I know that when I trusted God and lean on his understanding, those things, he helped me. And he made things come, I mean, things disappear, problems disappear like they never were there, all right? And I learned things from that, all right? God is so good. Let's not be like these two guys that don't even recognize Jesus, all right? Don't recognize the hope they have right in front of you, all right? We have this hope that he has given us right in front of us. We need to grab it, all right? So that we don't need the God kind of push us and go through the whole thing and show us the whole picture all over again, all right? Because we missed it. And we need to be on track. We need to be on the path that he set before us. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures. I hope you guys are ready. I promise you I won't keep you till Monday. All right, so we're going to go through a lot of scriptures because I think it's important to hear what God has to say about hope, what his word says. I mean, you know, that's it. It's not what we say, what we think, it's what he says and what he thinks. All right. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Doesn't that sound like the songs that we sang? I think that every single word we said was in the songs that we sang this morning in our worship. So that's pretty cool. I think that's awesome. And by the way, they didn't know what I was going to talk about. All right? They did not know. All right? So don't think that we set this up. The Holy Spirit did. All right? The Holy Spirit always does. All right? Since he gave me this word about hope, that's all I've been hearing is hope, hope, hope. Everywhere I go, people are talking about hope and hopelessness and being disgruntled and being afraid and fearful, all right, because they don't know Christ. And if they do know Christ, they're not walking in Christ, all right? He gives us the power. He gives us power to overcome. Psalm 42, verse 5. I think Josiah is going to be faster than me getting to these verses. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. You see, you don't need to be downcast. You know, just put your hope in God, because, see, when you do that, you transfer all those things that you think are going on and wrong, and you put the trust in God. You say, you know what, God, you have bigger shoulders than I do, so I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to worry about the things that I can control myself, the things that are my responsibility, and you can take care of the rest. Anybody ever try that? Right? I try that a lot. I said, you know what? My shoulders are not big enough. All right? They can't handle this, so I'm putting my trust and my hope in you, and you're going to take care of it, and whatever you say, I'm going to do. All right? Try that one time. See what happens. See what God does. You know what? Put him to a challenge and see what happens. All right? He's going to challenge you back. All right? Because he's going to do it, and he's going to say, okay, now, I want you to walk this way. I want you to talk to this person. I want you to give them hope, my hope, that they never had before. I want you to show them what kind of hope that is. It's not dependent on what we do. It's not dependent on who we are, all right, or where we come from. It's depending on who he is. Remember that. That's the basis. That's the foundation. Psalm 39:7. Are you guys still alive out there? Yeah, I want to hear it. Are you alive?
Yeah.
All right, good. Because if you're not, I might throw something at you. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I will not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. All right? Okay, think about it. It says, who do I look for? My hope is in you. All right? So anytime you're facing any kind of trial, go seek the Lord. Seek him first. All right? Don't seek, you know, here's what we tend to do. We're going through a trial, and we go through a progression. All right? First, we find out who's at fault. All right? Normally, we never look at ourselves, and we point the finger somewhere else. All right? And we'll go like this, and you notice that the other fingers are pointing to you. All right? And then we go talk to somebody to get on our side. We need some help. So we get some people to be on our side. And then we go and we talk it up some more. We spread rumors and we do all these things, all right? And then after it all fails, then we go see God. And we said, you know, Lord, can you fix this mess I just made? All right? And you wonder why God just, you know, think about, sometimes I wonder what he does. He scratches his head. He goes, what are you doing? You know? He's wondering. He goes, he probably chuckles and sees us do these progressions, realizing, you know, he's going to come back to me and he's going to ask me what he should have asked in the first place. God, what am I supposed to do? Right? If our hope is in him, who should be first? He should be first. So all those other things that happen and the things that we cause to happen and the consequences of those things won't happen because we went to him first. And when we seek his wisdom, he gives us advice that allows us to walk through this trial, all right? It doesn't mean you're not going to have trials. Understand that. All right? If you're a Christian, you're going to have trials. And if you don't have trials, you need to check yourself in the mirror and see who you're following, because there will be trials. And I guarantee you, when you start trusting God and hoping in him and everything, you're going to face the adversary immediately, you know? The people are going to make fun of you. Who are you trusting? Why are you putting your hope in God? Why are you putting your hope in going to church? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? But you know what? Don't listen to that. Put your trust in him. Psalm 71:14. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long. You hear David's heart? Do you hear his heart? He's always going to put his hope and trust in God, and he's going to praise him continually. You know what happens when you praise God continually through? I mean, he puts you in a different place. All right? You don't see those problems as problems anymore. You see them as little obstacles, all right, that the enemy has put in front of you. All right, or maybe that you put yourself in front of, you know, all right, little obstacles. And he said, no problem, God's going to take care of this, all right. It might be tough at times, but I'm going to make it. See, we're tested in fire so that we're refined. We're tested so that all the impurities come out. All right, all those things that ourselves, our self-centeredness, come out. All right, so that now when we're tested through the fire, we're refined. That's what God does to us. We're a new creation. We're not the same anymore. All right, we can handle these things, and we handle them the way God would want us to handle. There's a thing called justly anger. There's just anger, all right? And there's another thing called anger, all right? And there's a difference, all right? One is controlled because you're in God, and the other one is because you're just angry, all right? And we all get angry, and things cause us to lose control, all right? But when we're in God, that happens less and less and less and less. And when we see things, all right, they don't affect us like they used to, because we're no longer, you know, a child of the enemy, but a child of God. We sing about that. I don't know if you ever been around Pastor Tony when he's working. He's always singing, he's always worshiping God, praise God, and he always seems to be on a high, right? He's always jumping around, and I mean it's infectious. Because he knows where his power and his strength comes from. He knows where his hope comes from. So he's always founded in that. And he's always in there all the time, praising God and just doing things in God. When things happen, and he just shakes his head, well, you know, that's going to have to be to the Holy Spirit. God's in control. I can only do so much. I can tell you this and tell you that. I can give you scriptures, all right? But it's up to God now. It's the Holy Spirit's turn. You know what? We can know all the scriptures we want, and we can quote them, all right? And we can know all those perfect words to say. We can speak Christianese all you want. But unless it's in your heart and in your feet, it's not going to work, all right? It's got to be in your heart, and you got to be walking it out, all right? It's not easy. It's so much easier being in the world. It takes strength, and it's not our strength. Romans 5. Anybody know about Paul? You think Paul knew what hope was? Paul called himself the greatest sinner. You know, he did some things that he was ashamed of, but he was a great man. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. I love that, you know. You know, gives us perseverance. I just love the way he says that. You know, I think, you know, sometimes we think of Paul as being this giant of a person. They say, some historians say that he was crippled in his back and bent over. He was bald. Hey. And then he was a short guy, you know. And, you know, he wasn't somebody that you would take a second look at and say, whoa. But when he started speaking, all right, God came out. The Holy Spirit came out of him. And he was powerful. And he spoke to the heart of people. He didn't like to play these around about games, you know, around the bushes stuff. He spoke through the heart. All right. He didn't want to play games. He had enough of that. All right. He's seen what the Pharisees did. He knew what they were doing, playing these games and asking these questions and trying to trap you. You ever have talked to someone that like to ask you a lot of questions and try to trap you or try to show how much more intelligent they are, and they try to play these games with you, you know? And you say, get to the point. What do you want to say, you know? And, you know, you get tired of it, you know? Paul was that kind of person, just right to the center of it, right to the heart of the issue. Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Let's go back to Romans 8, 24 and 25. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who holds for what he already has? But if we hold for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. All right? And sometimes, you know, we're hoping for stuff that God has already given us. You know? You know, we're hoping for things that he's already laid at our side. All we need to do is take it. You know, he said, I will set you free, you know, real freedom. And all we need to do is grab it. All right? It's a freedom that's not what you think it is. It's a freedom in your heart from sin. All right? And that maybe you have chains on you somewhere or somehow. All right? But those chains, all right, are not going to contain what God has for us. All right? It's a different kind of freedom. It's a freedom that will leave us eternally with him, knowing that when we die, there's hope. All right? When we die, we're not just going into the ground, all right? But I always told Nancy, I said, you know what? I don't want a fancy funeral. I don't want a fancy funeral. That's a waste of money. I'm not even there, you know? So take the money, go on vacation, enjoy yourself. And it says, why waste it and give it to the funeral director, all right? I don't believe in giving them guys all that money. That the cost is ridiculous, all right? And for some, I'm not even there. What do you care? I said, if the state law will allow, I said, put me in a paper bag. Who cares? I don't care. You know, I'm not going to be there. I say, see, my hope is not here in this earth, all right? It's not here, all right? I'll be dead. I'm not there anymore, but see, I'm somewhere better, all right? All those things that I've been praying for and hoping for, I'm going to see face to face. I'm going to see it. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to be in worship with a billion Tonys, Pastor Tonys. You know, we're going to be worshiping, jumping up and down, and they're all going to, now that's normal, by the way, but that's normal. It's going to be normal. Going to be worshiping all the time. Pretty cool. God is so good. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Man, I can't believe when you get older how you lose your eyesight so quickly trying to find these verses. Everything gets smaller and smaller. Has that happened to any of the teachers here? It's harder to see those things? Oh, man. That's not a good thing. But that's okay. It always, this one, you know, hope is wrapped up in faith that's wrapped up in love. All right? They're all together. All right. If you don't have faith, you can't have hope. If you don't have hope, you can't have faith. If you don't have love, you can't have either one. All right. And they're in Christ. All right. They're all wrapped up together. You know, you need faith in order to hope. You can't hope for anything if you don't have faith in it. I mean, you can hope all you want until you turn blue, until you grow hair on your head. It's not going to work. All right. Because you don't have faith, it's not going to happen. All right. That's the way. That's the truth. It's all wrapped up together. All right, and here's what he says. He says, it always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. That's love, all right? That's what love does. They're wrapped together. They're all in one. It's, you know, like the Trinity, the three of them are wrapped up in one, all right? Each one matters to the other. 13:13, you might be hearing these things, Angel, pretty soon. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, which I just said, they're wrapped up together. I said that to Angel because she's getting married next month. A couple weeks, right? Right? So yes, she's going to hear this stuff. This is the truth. This is what God wants. You know, he wants us to hope in him. He doesn't want us to have hope that's not going to work, you know. Just the hope of the world is in a different thing. They're hoping for a president to change the atmosphere of the country. They're hoping for a prime minister to change something. They're hoping for a politician to make the right laws. You know what? They're not. It's not going to happen. All right? That's what the word said so. All right? They said, you know, we've been going through Revelation. If you paid attention, you know what's going on is because God said it's going to happen. All right? So you can't trust them. You can't put your hope in them, for sure. And if you do, and if you are, you need to pray a lot, because they're not going to help us, all right? There's just, their agenda is totally different than God's agenda, and that's what we're concerned about, all right? It's not about the individual. It's about the agenda and what they're representing, all right? Look around us. Look. If you read the paper one day, you'll see all the hopelessness in the world, and you see the things that normally 20 years ago I never thought would happen, and they're happening. I mean, I'm seeing things and hearing things that shake you to the core. I mean, then you realize God is coming, and it's soon. All right, when you hear about a mother that prostitutes her own daughter from 8 years old to 12 years old so she can have her drugs. And then they go to trial. This just happened recently because I work with a guy that was at this trial, and he was one of the jurors. And the people are arguing, oh, it's because she was on drugs. She didn't know what she was doing. And he asked him, he goes, excuse me? When are we accountable? What is a mother's responsibility? What is a father's responsibility to protect the child? We're seeing the twist that's coming, the turning right before our eyes. No one wants to take accountability for what is right. And when you're doing things that are right, you're called a rebel, a radical, and you're called wrong for the things that are doing right. It's a total twist. It's a turnaround. 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. All right? It's not about the things that we have, material things. All right? It's not about the money. It's not about the homes, the cars. It's not about our clothes. It's not about our looks. It's not about any of those things. When we put our hope in those things, when you die, you can't take them with you, by the way. All right? They're not coming with you. Fancy shoes, or fancy earrings, or fancy rings, or watches, or whatever, phones, whatever it may be, they can't come with you. They stay here. The money stays here, all right? When you put your faith in that, you'll find out when you're dying that all those things didn't matter. You know, it's amazing how so many people, when they're sick and they're in their deathbed, realize, you know, all those things that I did, all those things that I tried to achieve and accomplish for myself because I wanted someone to look up to me and say, whoa, wow, look at that person. You know, look what he has. Look what she has. All right? They were worthless. What did they do to me? So someone said, oh, you look good, or that's great, you know, big deal. You know, doesn't mean anything. I'd rather God say, hey, good and faithful servant, welcome, come here. I'm glad the things that you did, I seen. The things that you did for me and for the kingdom and how you represented Jesus Christ, I like that. Come into my glory. Come into, I got a mansion for you. You want to see something? I got something for you. You're going to be walking on gold. Don't matter about having it in your pocket. You're going to be walking on it. Right? Think about it. Think about what God has for us. It's so much better. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, all right, who gave himself to us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. All right? Think about what Jesus did for us. As the blood poured from Calvary, from that cross, all right, we were free. We had hope. And you know what? It's because of his death, his crucifixion, that we have hope. It is because of that we have hope. Because without that, there was no hope. All right? He became the intercessor. He became sin itself. And he gave us an opportunity to have hope and have it eternally. All right? Not this fake hope. Not the hope in empires and all the things that happened during those times, but hope in him, knowing that when you died, you were going to a better place, all right? Knowing that you will live eternally in him, with him, all right? That's so powerful. When you think about all those things that God is doing for us, it is just amazing how much he loved us. When you think about his sacrifice for us. 1 Peter 3:15. Are you guys still with me? You're not falling asleep, are you? I hope not, because I work all night. You shouldn't be sleeping. All right. If I can stay awake, you guys can stay awake. That's okay. God gives me energy. I prayed for extra energy. And after this, maybe I'll crash, but right now, we're in his word. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have. Anybody ever ask you, why are you so joyful? Why are you happy when things are not going the way? Why do you go to church? Why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Why do you believe in God? Is he real? How do you know you're going to heaven? Is there a heaven and hell? You ever get asked those questions? I did. I was asked those questions many times, you know. I've been asked the questions almost every day, daily at work. Why do you believe in God? How can you trust him? Look what's going on over here. I said, God said it was going to happen. So, you know, that's why I know it's God, but he said it was going to happen. And, you know, I just talked to someone yesterday. I said, when you read Matthew 24, you see all these things that are happening before us. God said they were going to happen, and they're happening. I said, he knows what's going on, and he knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So we have hope that the world really wants. You know, they are seeking that hope, that blessed assurance, all right, that we have because of Christ Jesus. And it's not because of us. It's not because of our strength. It's because of his. And he gives us an opportunity to share that hope with other people. And please do. And it can just be a kind word. It can be just opening a door for someone or helping them maybe lift something or take something off the shelves, something nice. And when they say something to you, just say, you know, praise God, you know, have a blessed day. You know, it's just amazing. It changes the whole atmosphere. It just changes the whole atmosphere. We were just somewhere where a guy goes, isn't this an awesome, what a blessing. God bless you. It was, oh, yeah, it was in an ice cream place in the town of Boston, Charlotte's. Anybody ever been there? It's good. It's very good. Really good. Well, one guy was saying, isn't this an awesome day? It was great. And he said, praise God. And he was just praising God. I thought that was Pastor Tony dressed up a different way, you know. But he was just praising God. And it changes the atmosphere, how you look at things, all right. You see someone so joyful. Obviously, he has hope in God. He has his joy. He had the love. He had it all together, man, because he was happy. That's what we want to be. We want to be happy like that. Jeremiah 17:7. You know, there's a reason why your son's named Jeremiah. We're hoping for our sons. We're hoping for our daughters. And we're hoping in God. We're putting our trust in him. And we're praying that God would get a hold of their spirit, because you know what? We can't do it. We can try all the gimmicks and all the little plans and all the maneuvering we want, manipulations. It's not going to work. It's going to have to be the Holy Spirit drawing them, all right? And that's his job. That's what he wants to do. We're not the Holy Spirit. I can't draw you to Christ. I can tell you about him. I can point you, all right? But he's going to be the one who's going to draw you through your heart. And I hope that's happening to some of you right now, that God is drawing you. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the waters that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when he comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in years of drought and never fails to bear fruit. All right? And you can only have that. You can only see that. It's actually planted by living waters. That's where we got our name for the youth group, Living Waters, right? Always being fed by the Holy Spirit, all right? Always being led by the Holy Spirit, all right? And that hope, see, it's always refreshing. You're never going to be in a truly dry place. There's going to be times where you feel you're all by yourself and you're going to feel like I'm in a rut, all right? And when we put ourselves in the prayer closet, my wife likes to say, you know, I'm not feeling right. I'm just going to go in there, lock myself in the room and pray and worship God. Put on some worship music and pray and work through this and let God bring me through whatever. And usually God speaks to her when she does that, you know, and gives her a word and encouragement, all right? Because we're human beings, all right? And we love to be told that we're special. We love to be loved. Those are things that we need, all right? And God fills that need far better than we can. When we're in that place, all right, we know that, you know, nothing that we see on the outside is going to distract us or not enable us to do the things that God has called us to do, because we're in the Lord and we trust Him. We trust Him in every step that we take. Jeremiah 29:11. You guys probably know this verse, huh? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. All right? He knows our, He knows what He wants to do with us. He wants to give us hope. You see what it says? I want to give you hope. I don't want to give you despair. I don't want you to be downcast. I don't want you to be sad. I don't want you to be angry. I don't want you to be lonely. I want to give you hope. I want to give you a way out. That's what He's doing. I want to show you what love is. I want to show you what hope is. I want to show you what really means if someone takes care of you. All right? That's what God is saying to us. All right? He's given us the ammunition that we need to survive. He's given us everything that we need. We just got to take it. It's right there. He's saying, I got it for you. Just come and get it. Come and get it. You know? And you know, when He calls you, don't be afraid to come and get it. You know, He'll give you more than you ask for all the time. All right? When you're praying and asking God and He calls you, He's going to give you more. All right? He's going to give you more than you can handle. He's going to bless you beyond what you think He's going to bless you for. All right? And it's not, don't think that His blessing means money or something like that. He can take care of financial problems, but it's more than that. It's for a lifetime. It's not just for a moment. All right? And so as we want things to happen in a moment. All right? Don't we? All right, we want things to happen now. We don't have the patience. We talked about having patience and perseverance, all right? God says, wait a little bit. Wait a little bit. You know, wait. I have something for you, all right? And, you know, that can be a test for us. A test to see, are we faithful? Do we love? Do we have enough faith? Do we believe what He said? Did He die on the cross for us? Or didn't He? If we believe those things, all right, and we wait for Him, He will grant it to us. Out of His heart, His abundant heart, all right, He's going to give us that. Deuteronomy 31:6. A lot of people don't like reading the Old Testament. I find it very interesting. I like Leviticus with all the laws and stuff like that. I just like that stuff. It's very interesting because you learn a lot of things about what God's mind is about and what His intentions were. And when you see what He's done for us and you see how He's doing it, you realize everything had a purpose. It was all wrapped up in one. You know, He told the people what they should do in a manner of diseases and things in Leviticus. It's interesting because if we do those things now, I mean, we wipe out the disease, you burn everything, get rid of it so that disease is not there anymore. The fire burns it. When that fire sounds familiar, right? Cleansing, all right? That's what it does. Sometimes we got to go through fire. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it burns. But in the end, God is there. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Again, we sang about that, all right? Those songs were there in worship time. We sang about being strong and courageous, all right? That means walking through the fire. That's what it means. That means standing firm. Because you can only do that if you have the faith. You can only do that if you know that He loves you and that you love Him. You can't stand on your own. You can only stand for so long, all right? That's it. Anybody ever been in a marching band? In a marching band, right? I remember when I was young, I was in a marching band. I don't know how I got involved in it, but it was so hot, right? And you're trying to stand at attention with this uniform on that weighed about 100 pounds, and then you're trying to, you know, not move, and it's so hot, and you can't do it anymore. You don't have the strength, all right? The sun is beating down on you, all right? And I had protection back then, too, but it didn't help, all right? It's just so hot. You don't stand very long. You start to wear out because you're standing on your own strength. But when you stand in God's strength, you can stand a heck of a lot longer. God has a plan for us. Be strong and courageous. Proverbs 13:12. I'm all over the place, huh? These are only half of them. When I was reading this, how in the world am I going to put this all together and keep it at a reasonable time? And so far, I'm doing too good. I'm doing pretty good. But hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life, all right? You know, do you realize that your countenance and how you feel, when you trust God, did you notice that you feel much better? Did you ever notice that? You ever notice that when you're praying and you're walking with the Lord, that you feel stronger? Like you feel like you can overcome, all right? Because, you know, we're putting our hope in Him, and He takes care of all those things, all right? You still can have bad knees like I do, all right? And they hurt all the time, all right? And you know, but I know that I can do my job and still be in pain and still be happy, and even though they're not working very well, all right, I can still know. I know that God has a plan for me. I still can outwalk 20-year-old kids, and you know, I'm three times their age, and they have a hard time keeping up with me. In fact, one guy said, they asked him, "How do you like working with Sounds?" He goes, "He's great, but it's like following a mountain goat." I thought that was pretty funny. It really was, you know. Was that AJ? You see, God gives us strength beyond our years, and He gives us endurance, all right? And you know what? He gives us pain only as much as we can handle. That's it, as much as we can handle. Think about that. And when it gets to a point, God says, all right, that's enough. I'll take care of the rest, you know? Think about it. God is so good, you know? Even though these knees hurt and they don't work as well, and I have a hard time getting back up when I'm sitting down for a long time, all right? And sometimes I stumble. He's still there. He's still there with me. And I appreciate that because He gives me strength. And sometimes I don't know how I'm doing it, you know, but I know that He's there. Yeah. Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered himself faithful, who had made the promise, right? Think about that. God promised him, you're going to have a child, all right? Now, just think about this for a minute. You know, they're not spring chickens, all right? And I know that they had children at a later age and younger age than we do now, but if God said to me, you're going to have a son, I'm going to say, are you crazy? You know? But, you know, God can do that. He says, a son now? I don't think I can handle that, you know, the energy that it takes. But God can give me that energy. But Abraham believed the promise that God gave him. Yeah. Abraham believed that, yeah. Right? He said, you know, I know it's true because God said so, right? And that's what we need to do. We need to believe it because God said it. God said, you know, if you're faithful and you believe me, all right, it will happen. It would happen. You take a look around. You see it happening every single minute of the day. What He said is happening. So believe it. Trust in Him. Be faithful. We're almost there, people. We're almost there. First John 3:1-3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Again, that was sung today, child of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and we will be as has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Wow. That's amazing. It's just, look at that. Look at what God is saying. He goes, because the world doesn't know. They don't know Him. So they don't know this hope. We do. We should. But we know the hope that God has for us. We know that our hope is founded in Him, in Christ Jesus. We know that he is going to lead us through every single trial. We know that, you know, he promised us that when we pray for our loved ones, that he hears that prayer. All right. And you know what? It might not be in our time, and might not be us who bring our children to Christ, but God's going to use someone else. And you know, that's okay. That's fine. So God, you can do whatever you want. You're in charge. All right. Bring my kids to the Lord. Let them know who you are. I want them to be saved. I want them to be with me in heaven. You know, there's a song, Blessed Assurance, that was written in 1873. It was written by a person named Francis Crosby. Blessed Assurance. You know the words of that song? Well, check this out. That person was blind. All right. Person didn't see. All right. Didn't see with these, but seen with this. Person was blind. All right. And spoke about blessed assurance, the hope that surpasses all understanding. All right. And couldn't even see the things that God was doing with her eyes, but here in the heart. Blessed assurance. That's in Hebrews 10:22. That's where that song came from. When I was doing this and just looking up things and asking the Lord how I should go about doing this, when I looked at the word hope, I put an acronym. I like to put acronyms on things. His overcoming presence eternally. Think about that. His overcoming presence eternally. That's what our hope is. It's in him. It's overcoming. And because of his presence next to us, his Holy Spirit, that we can do this eternally. You know, he gives us that opportunity. And it's such an awesome privilege to know what Christ has done for us. And I think he's going to play a song for us. And as he's playing this song for us, I want you to listen to the words. And I want you to listen to what this song is saying in your heart. And if you feel that the Spirit is calling you, would you please come up front and we'll pray for you. We have people here that will pray for us. Pray for all of you. Pastor Tony, Sister Nancy. All right, we'll come and pray for you. And we want you to just be, let the Spirit just speak to your heart. As you hear this song and the Spirit is moving you, come forward and let God fill you. This is, you know, I know sometimes it's scary to do that. I know sometimes God calls you and you think that you're hearing things or, no, that's not for me. But, you know, don't let this day go by without God filling you with his love and letting you know that there is hope. There is hope because of what he's done for us. Don't let it go by. Because you never know, you might not have another chance. All right? The Spirit of God is here, and he's going to speak to you. So let's play that song, and if you feel as though you need to come up, please come up. Okay.
Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground this covenant is blood. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When we shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone.
Maybe there's someone over here that doesn't have any hope or feel that as though hope has left them. Maybe you're in a place that you've been so disappointed that you have a hard time trusting. But you know what? God never disappoints you. God always keeps His word. He keeps His promise. All right? And He has hope for you, if you would have hope in Him. So if that's you, please come up. I'm going to have a few minutes to just let the Holy Spirit minister to the people up front.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.